I'd like to warmly welcome everyone to this Wednesday gathering, a live teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We're delighted you've joined with us today as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those of you with a computer, our web address for this meeting is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive on the prayerfulgathering.com webpage. We will continue in song with hymn number 144.
In atmosphere of love divine, we live and move and breathe, though mortal eyes may see it not, 'tis sense that would deceive.
Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is diagnosis. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible with correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Bible. Psalms. I am troubled. I am bowed down greatly. I go mourning all the day long. Lord, why hast thou cast off my soul? Why hidest thou thy face from me? Jeremiah. Why is my pain perpetual and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Job. Why, seeing times are not hidden from the Almighty, do they that know him not see his days? The cause which I knew not, I searched out. If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, if my step hath turned out of the way, and mine heart walked after mine eyes, and if any blot hath cleaved to my hands, if I did despise the cause of my manservant or my maidservant when they contended with me, if I have withheld the poor from their desire, or have caused the eyes of the widow to fail, or have eaten my morsel myself alone, and the fatherless hath not eaten thereof, if I have seen any perish for want of clothing, or any poor without covering, if I have lifted up my hand against the fatherless when I saw my help in the gate, if I have made gold my hope, or have said to the fine gold, thou art my confidence, if I rejoiced because my wealth was great and because mine hand had gotten much, if I beheld the sun when it shined or the moon walking in brightness, this also were an iniquity to be punished by the Lord. Isaiah. Produce your cause, saith the Lord. Bring forth your strong reasons, saith the King of Jacob. Behold, they are all vanity. Their works are nothing. Thou shalt seek them, and shalt not find them, even them that contended with thee. They that war against thee shall be as nothing, and as a thing of naught. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Isaiah. When they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep and mutter, should not a people seek unto their God? 2 Chronicles. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. And they made a very great burning for him. Jeremiah. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. John. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed, and came seeing. Matthew. And when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sore vexed, for oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart, and said, Why could not we cast him out? And Jesus said unto them, Because of your unbelief. For verily I say unto you, If ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, Remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Howbeit, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. Proverbs. As the bird by wandering, as the swallow by flying, so the curse causeless shall not come. And from Science and Health. There is but one primal cause. Therefore, there can be no effect from any other cause. And there can be no reality in aught which does not proceed from this great and only cause. Immortal mind is the only cause. Therefore, disease is neither a cause nor an effect. You say that indigestion, fatigue, sleeplessness cause distressed stomachs and aching heads. Then you consult your brain in order to remember what has hurt you, when your remedy lies in forgetting the whole thing. For matter has no sensation of its own, and the human mind is all that can produce pain. As a man thinketh, so is he. Mind is all that feels, acts, or impedes action. Ignorant of this, or shrinking from its implied responsibility, the healing effort is made on the wrong side, and thus the conscious control over the body is lost. A physical diagnosis of disease, since mortal mind must be the cause of disease, tends to induce disease. The moral and spiritual facts of health whispered into thought produce very direct and marked effects on the body. The ordinary practitioner examining bodily symptoms, telling the patient that he is sick, and treating the case according to his physical diagnosis, would naturally induce the very disease he is trying to cure, even if it were not already determined by mortal mind. Such unconscious mistakes would not occur if this old class of philanthropists looked as deeply for cause and effect into mind as into matter. The physician agrees with his adversary quickly, but on different terms than does the metaphysician, for the matter physician agrees with the disease, while the metaphysician agrees only with health and challenges disease. Before deciding that the body, matter, is disordered, one should ask, "Who art thou that repliest to spirit? Can matter speak for itself, or does it hold the issues of life?" The Christian Scientist finds only effects where the ordinary physician looks for causes. The real jurisdiction of the world is in mind, controlling every effect and recognizing all causation as vested in divine mind. Until the fact concerning error, namely its nothingness, appears, the moral demand will not be met, and the ability to make nothing of error will be wanting. We should blush to call that real, which is only a mistake. Let us suppose two parallel cases of bone disease, both similarly produced and attended by the same symptoms. A surgeon is employed in one case and a Christian Scientist in the other. The surgeon, holding that matter forms its own conditions and renders them fatal at certain points, entertains fears and doubts as to the ultimate outcome of the injury. Not holding the reins of government in his own hands, he believes that something stronger than mind, namely matter, governs the case. His treatment is therefore tentative. This mental state invites defeat. The belief that he has met his master in matter and may not be able to mend the bone increases his fear. Yet this belief should not be communicated to the patient, either verbally or otherwise, for this fear greatly diminishes the tendency towards a favorable result. The Christian Scientist, understanding scientifically that all is mind, commences with mental causation, the truth of being, to destroy the error. This corrective is an alterative reaching to every part of the human system. According to Scripture, it searches the joints and marrow, and it restores the harmony of man. The matter physician deals with matter as both his foe and his remedy. He regards the ailment as weakened or strengthened according to the evidence which matter presents. The metaphysician, making mind his basis of operation irrespective of matter, and regarding the truth and harmony of being as superior to error and discord, has rendered himself strong instead of weak to cope with the case, and he proportionately strengthens his patient with the stimulus of courage and conscious power. Both science and consciousness are now at work in the economy of being, according to the law of mind, which ultimately asserts its absolute supremacy. One should never hold in mind the thought of disease, but should efface from thought all forms and types of disease, both for one's own sake and for that of the patient. Avoid talking illness to the patient. Make no unnecessary inquiries relative to feelings or disease. Never startle with a discouraging remark about recovery, nor draw attention to certain symptoms as unfavorable. Avoid speaking aloud the name of the disease. Think less of material conditions and more of spiritual. We cannot fathom the nature and quality of God's creation by diving into the shallows of mortal belief. We must reverse our feeble flutterings, our efforts to find life and truth in matter, and rise above the testimony of the material senses, above the mortal, to the immortal idea of God. These clearer, higher views inspire the godlike man to reach the absolute center and circumference of his being. Divine mind is the only cause or principle of existence. Cause does not exist in matter, in mortal mind, or in physical forms. Spiritual causation is the one question to be considered. For more than all others, spiritual causation relates to human progress. The age seems ready to approach this subject, to ponder somewhat the supremacy of spirit, and at least to touch the hem of truth's garment.
Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the power.